for this great solemnity of the Sacred Heart. Traditionally, it's celebrated on the day following the octave of Corpus Christi, which Corpus Christi we celebrated last Sunday, but traditionally, historically, it would have been celebrated the Thursday before, because Thursday is the day in which Christ instituted the Most Holy Sacrament. And so historically, we celebrated Corpus Christi on that Thursday, and then there was an octave following that, like we have at Christmas and Easter. There were 8 days to really dive into the great mystery of the Holy Eucharist. And then that was completed on this, the 9th day after that, with this great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Because as we said, in the Holy Trinity, God reveals himself to us, shows us who he is and who we're created to be, that this God is love, as we heard today. And in the Holy Eucharist, we remember that love desires to be shared, so we have the Blessed Sacrament as a sign of that love of God. But God is not just this sacramental sign that's waiting for us in heaven, but the love of God beats for us with the human heart of Jesus Christ. The heart that was pierced on the cross. The heart that beats inflamed in love for each one of us. And Jesus desired for us to have this devotion. And throughout the history of the church, there have been glimpses of this devotion. St. Gertrude, St. Bonaventure, each spoke about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but it really came to light. It came to the heart of the church in the 1700s with St. John Eudes and most famously St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. In that time, in the church history, the heresy of Jansenism was running rampant through the church, was Jansenism. The idea that if I work hard enough, if I just do the right things, then I can reach salvation by the merits of my efforts, almost in absence of the mercy and the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm sure all of us at some point have fallen into a trap of that, of just trying to do all the right things so that I can win God's approval, so that I can be worthy of God's love. And we know what a torture chamber that can become. And so in response to that, in mercy, God opened up his heart to us to show us that the love is already there. As St. John said, we can only love because God loved us first. Our response of love is just that. It's a response. It's nothing that we fabricate or generate on our own. It's merely, simply, a response to God who loves us. And that's what came through with all the readings today. As in that first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses is reminding the people who they are. They're sacred. They've been chosen. They've been set apart. Not because they're the greatest or the largest or they've done anything, but because God is faithful. God made a promise to Abraham. And because of that, this is why the chosen people are the chosen people. This fidelity, this covenantal fidelity that goes throughout all of the Old Testament. And when we sang about that in the responsorial psalm, that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness. That those words, those phrases appear so often as the descriptor of who God the Father is. He is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in kindness. His heart is overflowing with love. That's what he says, that the Lord set his heart on you and he chose you. Speaking to the chosen people, but through our baptism, as we are incorporated into his body, this can be said truthfully about each one of us. The Lord has set his heart on us, on me, on you, and he has chosen you. And he desires us to have this devotion to the human heart. The heart is the center, the core of the person, our true identity. And again, as I've been saying, this month dedicated to the Sacred Heart has been twisted by the secular forces, twisting the notion of identity and mission and purpose. This feast, this solemnity is to remind us that that only is found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in His Sacred Heart. And who of us has not been burdened in some way? Maybe great burdens that you're carrying today. Listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The yoke is that instrument that they would put over the beasts of burden as they were plowing the fields and doing all of the manual, the hard work. The yoke is what kept the animals in line, kept them together. It was heavy. It was a contraption of almost like punishment. And the yoke also became to symbolize all of the laws and the rules, the commandments that the Pharisees had placed upon the people that were almost impossible to carry out. Jesus is saying, come to me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So lay your cares upon the heart, the most sacred heart of Jesus, and allow Him to bring you into His rest. Today, the bishops of America have asked for a day of reparation and prayer, as this day normally is each year, but in particular for the gross affronts against our faith on wild display, whether it's in the stores that we shop at or the sports teams that we support, in particular the Dodgers in Los Angeles. This grave offense against the heart of Jesus. And we should be begging God's mercy that His wrath is not revealed and unveiled upon us for what we are allowing in this country from our leaders who claim to have the faith. Christ is asking us to do reparation. And so we will. We'll pray the litany of the Sacred Heart. In just a moment, I'll lead us in an act of reparation to the Sacred Heart to make up for the offenses. And then with humility, I ask you to pray for me and Father Prabhu and all the priests, because this day is also the day of the sanctification of the priesthood. All of us men who've been called to stand in the person of Christ, that we need the prayers so that we can be holy, so that our lives is a witness to you of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, as the priest gets vested for Mass, we have all these different things that we put on, and there are prayers associated. So the amice that covers my street clothes, I pray to be protected by the helmet of salvation against the assaults of the devil. When I put my alb on, the white garment, I pray to be reminded of my baptismal purity, that I can be unstained as I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. When I put on my cincture, the belt, it's a reminder of my call to chastity, celibacy, and continence. I put on the stole of immortality, which was lost through the sins of our first parent. Even though I'm unworthy to stand here, I ask for the grace to do so. And then finally, as I put on the chasuble, the prayer says, you've told us, Lord, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Help me to carry it with grace and mercy into eternal life. And so this prayer of Jesus, these words of Jesus, the priest prays every day that we can help you carry your burden. So again, in humility, I ask for your prayers. Thank you.